murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a bloody man. He was remembered as a true sinner. He had at least 8 wives. He had terrible family difficulties. His son raped his daughter. One of his sons killed another one of his sons. Another son was killed in an armed rebellion against him, in a power struggle for the kingdom, and he was a king. Another son was killed trying to get him out of the way so he could take over the kingdom. He was not allowed to build the temple, the house of God, because he was such a bloody man of war. Who are we talking about? He was a man after God's own heart. And I'm sure you all know that I'm talking about David. But we might ask ourselves the question, why was he a man after God's own heart? With all the problems that he had, why did God call him a man after my own heart? Well, today we're going to answer the question why David was a man after God's own heart. And in doing so, we can understand a little bit better how we also can be someone after God's own heart. We think about it, there's more of the Bible devoted to David than any other person of the Bible. He's mentioned more times than anyone, even more times than Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 15 as we get a little bit of perspective today. Romans chapter 15. We'll start reading in verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through our learning, or written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see these words, these examples put in the Bible for us to learn by, that we may become closer to God, Jesus Christ, and our fellow man. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. As we start to look at the example of David, 1 Samuel chapter 13. Let's start reading in verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord should have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." This is God's description of David here. A man with many, many faults. A man whose spirit, though, was sensitive to God's will. So what does it mean when we say to be someone after someone's heart? That means that they have a relationship. And David had a relationship with God. We might think of a child, a parent, a spouse, a close friend, having a relationship with you. Clearly, David had a relationship with God, even from the beginning. Even with all of his problems, he still had a relationship with God, even before he was famous. We're in 1 Samuel. Let's turn over a couple of pages to chapter 16. We'll start reading in verse 11. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, and to look at the background here of what we're reading, we're seeing where David is going to be anointed king. And if we look back to the previous verses, we see that Samuel asked that his sons be brought in front of him. And David was the very last one, the least one that you might think that would be anointed king. Verse 11. Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here? Have we seen them all?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. When God looks at a man and looks on his heart, he doesn't see as we do. God looks on the inward appearance. God looks on the heart of the person. We see that in the choosing of David. We see when David was anointed king, he was granted God's Spirit, and that Spirit came upon him. Just as though when we are baptized and come out of that water and have hands laid upon us, we're given a measure of God's Spirit also. David was unimpressive on the outside, but clearly he had something that got God's attention on the inside. David sought the heart of God. Psalm 42:1, and we sing about this in the hymnal, states, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God." Words of David. So what does it take to have that kind of relationship with God? What was that relationship that David had? What was it built on? Well, when we think of reasons that David was a man after God's own heart, we might think of many. And if you sat down and made a list up, you may come up with several, some that I may not have picked, but I did pick a few reasons out and came up with that maybe we wouldn't automatically think of. But let's go over some reasons why David was a man of God's own heart. The first reason that I wrote down was David had a deep desire to do the will of God. He was obedient. David loved God's law. Despite David's lapses and despite his failings, David wholeheartedly sought the will of God. He had failures, but David remained faithful. He was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. We can see the thoughts of David through his writings. When we want to look at his heart, what he was thinking, what made David up, if we go through his words, we can see what his attitude was, what he thought about, what was truly in his heart. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, the first verse in the book of Psalms, and we're going to spend a good bit of time today reading the words of David so that we can clearly see and have that insight into what his heart was. The very first verse, the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 1. We'll spend a good bit of time reading his words today. Verse 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners." Keeping in mind, David had a deep desire to do the will of God. "Nor sits in the seat of the scornful," verse 2, "but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." And those people knew what that meant. When they harvested grain, they would take it to the threshing floor, and they would beat it, and they would break the chaff away from the grain, and then the wind would blow that chaff away. Verse 5, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of righteousness. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." David's words. Let's continue in the book of Psalms, to Psalms chapter 101, as we read David's words. Psalms 101, we'll start reading in verse 3. "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness." Verse 6, "My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land. that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Turning over to the longest book in the Bible, Psalms 119, continuing on with some of David's words. Psalm 119 and verse 11. And we could go on and read the whole chapters and read all of David's writing, but we're just taking little bits so we start to understand a little bit about David's thoughts here. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgment of your mouth. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. David loved God's law. David loved God's way of life. Verse 97 of Psalm 119. We could continue on. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And we sing this in a hymn. Verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. So we could review this whole chapter, but do we do all of these things? Is this what our heart is saying to us? Does it give us peace and comfort? Do we get encouragement and delight from reading God's laws or obeying God's laws and reading about his way? When we think about Jesus Christ loved God's law also. Jesus used and quoted the law often. What did he say in John 4, verse 34? I do the will of him who sent me. He gave warnings out over and over again to the scribes, to the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. He called them abusers of the law. But David loved God's law. David knew that following the will of God is the only way to bring true happiness. Matthew 26, verse 42 states, your will be done. Are we prepared to walk the walk and go through the path that's been laid out for each and every one of us? Are we striving to do God's will? Do we guard against desensitizing our consciousness? As we see the world around us, the attitudes around us, as we see a world, a nation forgetting God and his and their creator every day, do we find ourselves compromising and saying it's okay and maybe it's not so bad, as the world quickly swirls away from God's word? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, back over in the New Testament as we look at some of Paul's words. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start reading in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Is this our attitude? Bringing our minds, our consciences into the captivity of Christ. Matthew 7:21 states, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when we look at the reasons that David was a man after God's heart, we realize David had a deep desire to do the will of God. Another point that I jotted down for reasons was that David put God first. Putting God first in our lives gives us the right perspective when we deal with life's difficulties, when we deal with life's challenges, when we deal with life's failures. We might think of the example of David when Saul was pursuing him over and over again, even when Saul was asleep in the cave and David was right there in the cave with him two different times. And his men encouraged him to take Saul's life. What did he say? Let the Lord be the judge. And may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. Not for killing the king, Saul, at the time. That God would had do things in his own time frame. Sometimes we see the humanity of our leaders. Sometimes we see the humanity of those who lead above us and show us the way. I can remember talking to my dad about specific things, pointing out, look at this individual and what he's doing. He's in this position of leadership as a young child. And my dad said, you have to see God, you have to see God working through human beings. And we're all human beings. Sometimes things aren't just the way we think that they should be. So do we put God first, and do we have God in the proper perspective? Let's look at King David's last words, 1 Kings chapter 2. Some of David's last words. When we want to understand the thoughts of David, and when many times when someone realizes that they aren't going to be around anymore, they have nothing else to live for, their heart is truly sincere, and what they say is truly meaningful. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. When the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, so he had nothing else to live for. These were his last words for his family. Verse 2. I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. The first message talked about Joshua and his last words. When someone is speaking their last words, we should listen. It's truly meaningful. Keep the charge of the Lord your God. Walk in his ways to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you turn. Verse 4, that the Lord may fulfill his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way and walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel, giving words to his son Solomon. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. We saw David giving his last instructions to Solomon. Let's see some of Solomon's words as he gave instructions to his son. Proverbs chapter 4. As he would find him teaching his son. We'll start in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon writing here. Hear, my children, the instructions of a father. We just read David giving the instructions to Solomon. Now Solomon is giving instructions to his children. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, King David, whenever he was his son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Nelson's study Bible in reference to this section states, as his father, King David, had taught him, so now the son teaches his own sons, one generation instructing another. And the call for parents to teach their children the things of God is what it references here. We are in the book of Proverbs. Let's turn to Psalms. We're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Psalms today, reading David's words. Psalm chapter 78, starting in verse 3. Once again, David's instructions. Verse 3. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. So when we look at the characteristics, we look at why and answer the question, why was David a man after God's own heart? We realize that David put God first. Another point that I jotted down for reasons was that David repented. He was truly repentant because we see David failed. He failed many times. We don't need to go back and turn there, but we're familiar with the shortcoming that David had when he failed with Bathsheba and Uriah. And the listing of David's failures that's preserved for us today are many to read, to go back and read about David's life. But we also have failures, each and every one of us, from time to time. Failure is an event, not a person, Zig Ziglar would say. If you have heard of Zig Ziglar, failure is an event, not a person. A person is not a failure, but we all, from time to time, fail. We all say wrong things at times. We all do wrong things at times. Do we give others room to fail? Do we give others room to not be perfect? Do we give others room to repent? Do we hold on to wrongs long after God has forgiven someone else? David failed on a regular basis, but he was able to forgive others and himself. David repented. Let's turn to Psalm 51. It's interesting to read this whole chapter because this is a psalm of repentance. We see truly what's in David's heart here. When we read these words, we can see David repenting. Starting in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. We see David repenting here. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in all the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know to know wisdom. Purge me, verse 7, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David is repenting. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. There's so much here as we look into the mind of David. Restore me to the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. What was he saying here? I'm repenting, and I'm going to teach others, even though I may have failed at times, I'm going to be able to teach others. That's what he's saying here. A psalm of repentance. Unlike Saul, who was a self-willed man, David confessed his sins quickly. and he repented of them. Heartfelt repentance, as we see in this Psalm 51. David was able to accept God's forgiveness and forgive himself. Psalm chapter 25. As we continue to read David's words. Psalms chapter 25 and verse 11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. When we think of repentance, we know that that encompasses conversion. And conversion is a process. It's never ending. We are never perfect. We need to know how and be able to repent. So when we think of the reasons that David was a man after God's own heart, we realize that David was truly repentant. Another aspect that I wrote down was that David gained strength and encouragement from prayer. When we think about why David was a man after God's own heart, he gained strength and encouragement from prayer. David had a love for prayer. He depended on prayer. Let's look at some examples of that in his writing, Psalm chapter 116. David prayed. David needed to pray. We also need to pray. Psalm chapter 116, starting in verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. David talked to God on a regular basis. He depended on that talk to God. Verse 12 states in the same chapter, if we drop down. Verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all the people. Very powerful words David is writing. Let's turn over, we'll come back to Psalms, but let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4. When we think about prayer and how encouraging it can be, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Prayer can be a source of peace for us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We are to pray to God daily. We are to pray to God for our needs. Verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Not just a shallow prayer, but as we see David's words, and when we see David talking to God, they were deep, heartfelt words. Not just praying to put in time, but deep, heartfelt words to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 states to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ in you. Do we depend on prayer? Is prayer a vital part of our life? What happens with our day if we don't pray? We see also that Jesus prayed. He prayed for strength. He prayed for unity for us. We see him praying before his crucifixion. If this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. We see his heartfelt prayers as he looked ahead when he knew he would be crucified for us in our sins. Jesus Christ constantly talked to his Father. He also depended on prayer, as David. So do we gain strength and encouragement from prayer? We realize and look at the reasons that David was a man after God's own heart. We realize that David gained strength and encouragement from prayer. Another aspect or reason that David was a man after God's own heart was David put his trust in God. He had faith. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 chapter 7, 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're all familiar with this. This is, we'll start reading in verse 33. This is the incident where David is slaying Goliath, verse 33. And we see all of the children of Israel were afraid to meet Goliath here. They didn't have that faith. Saul said to David, "You are not," verse 33, "are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." Saul had no faith. David trusted in God. And let's look down at verse 37 to David's words. What did he say? "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.' David slayed Goliath as a young boy. David knew that God could be trusted and obeyed unquestionably." Let's go back to Psalms, to David's writings in chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25. David trusted God, and he was strengthened by that trust. We'll start reading in verse 1. A psalm of David. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are God of my salvation. On you I wait all day long." We see examples of David's trust all throughout his writings. We see his trust after the Amalekites came through and took everything. David strengthened himself in the Lord. What did he do when he lost everything? He was strengthened by that trust. He knew what was truly important. And after putting his trust in the Lord, he was able then to deal with the problems of the land and the nation. We're in Psalms chapter 25. Let's turn over to chapter 56 of the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 56. "Be merciful to me," verse 1, "O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day. For there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" Very powerful words as we see his insight. Verse 9. "When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" So David had a positive perspective as he relied on God for the things that he couldn't do himself. So how do we deal with difficulties today, with our difficulties and our problems, our family matters, our job issues, our money problems, whatever it might be, fill in the blank? Do we ever feel like David? Do we put our trust in God as we go through those difficulties? We're in Psalms chapter 56. Let's back up to Psalms chapter 31. Psalms chapter 31. How do we deal with our difficulties? We'll start reading in verse 9. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and I am repulsive to my acquaintances." This is what he felt about himself. "Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord." With all of these problems, As for me, he says, I trust in you. I say, you are my God. God wants us to find and trust him. Psalms 3 verse 5 states, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Very profound, because God knows the difficulties that we go through. God knows the different trials that we might be going through. David trusted God with his trials. As he was going through these trials, we see those heartfelt words. So do we trust God even when it seemed like no good can come from our trials, through some of our difficulties, even very difficult trials? We are called to have trials. We are called to have difficulties. It's part of our conversion as we learn God's way of life and develop that character. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. In talking about our difficulties, how do we view our difficulties? Sometimes it's hard as we go through different illnesses or problems of one sort. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. When we start to understand the bigger picture of our conversion process, the bigger picture as we look ahead to God's kingdom, as we look ahead to a different world, when the world will gather together and worship him, and Satan will not be part of it anymore. Do we trust God? Do we look ahead? Do we focus on that better time? We think about going through difficult trials and what God's answer is. God heals us from our sicknesses, but God also wants us to do our part. And sometimes his answer is no, not right now. And because of going through that, we're able to help other people. Sometimes the answer is no. God wants us to walk through that trial. So we see the example of those who have gone before us. The example of Job. The example of David. What did God say? What did Jesus Christ say to Paul when he had his trials? My grace is sufficient for you. Do we take our burdens and put them on God? Do we put him in the picture and pray to him about our burdens? Do we hand him our burdens and then go back and try and gather them up and take them back from him? Do we try and fight our burdens alone by ourselves? Do we try and wrestle back control of our burdens once we've handed them over to God? Do we have that trust, and do we have that faith that we saw in the writings of David? David had tears. He wept. God has our times, our good times and our bad times, our tragedies, our sicknesses in his hand. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 56. A very meaningful example in Psalms chapter 56. David describing his tears here. We'll start reading in verse 8. Psalms chapter 56. Verse 8, you number my wanderings, you put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? And we start to examine this verse and understand what David was saying here. It truly is powerful. What did it talk about here when it said, David says, you put my tears into your bottle? And back at this time, and you could even go on the internet and find these, there was what they called a tear bottle, Or they were called, and I'll spell the word, L-A-C-H-R-Y-M-A-T-O-R-I-E-S. And it was a little tiny bottle that people would have, they would use especially at funerals, and they would put their tears in this bottle, or they would pass it around and collect the tears. That's what David was saying here. You take my tears and put them in your bottle. They go back and they excavate all of these archaeological sites, and they find in these tombs these little tear bottles. And you could even go on different places on the internet and actually buy old tear bottles that they had. And it was a tradition when someone died. They represented all of the sorrows of the family and the friends of that person, and they're found in tombs today. That's what David was talking about to God. You take my tears, you put them in your bottle. Well, think about all of the tears in God's bottle. Think about the rivers of tears that have been cried from the beginning of time until now. David goes on to say, are they not in your book? Are they not recorded so that they would not be forgotten? David's saying to God, you're not going to forget my problems, my sorrows. You know you have them. Are they not in your book? Continuing on in verse 9. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? God realized his sorrows, his tears, his difficulties were in God's hands, and he trusted God. So where is God when we're going through trials? Those who trust in God find strength. Christ was strengthened by that closeness, that trust of his Father. He was crucified knowing, trusting that he would be resurrected. So when we look at David and ask the question why he was a man after God's own heart, we realize David put his trust in God. Another point that I came up with was that David prayed to God continually. David saw the importance of praising God. David praised God continually. Let me correct myself. And he saw that importance. Here we come to church services and we praise God through the hymns that we sing. In times of difficulties, David would write and sing hymns, not just at church, but he made it a part of his life of praising God. David praised God. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 59. Psalms chapter 59. We'll start reading in verse 16. David took strength, obtained strength by praising God. Psalm 59, we'll start reading once again in verse 16. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, the God of mercy. Let's turn over a few pages to chapter 63, starting in verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Psalm 119, verse 164 states, seven times a day I praise God. David praised God. He wrote praises continually throughout his difficulties, throughout his good times, he praised God. He was thankful to God. Psalm chapter 95. As we look at an example of his praise. Starting in verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. For we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, an example of his praises. Psalms 104 and verse 33, and as we continue in his words. I will sing, verse 33, to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. So why do we praise God? Why should we praise God? We should be thankful for all that he does for us. We should have that thanksgiving. Once a year, we celebrate Thanksgiving in November of this year, but we should do it every day, all year long. The ESV Study Bible, in reference to this, states, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, we should follow David's example, giving gratitude and praise daily. Do we praise God continually? It's for our benefit. We are the one that benefits when we praise God. Psalms 147 verse 1 states, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Do we take the time out of our day to praise God in our prayers, to praise him with hymns? So when we think about why David was a man after God's own heart, we realize that David praised God continually. So why was David a man after God's own heart? David had a heart for God, and God had a heart for David. They had a relationship from early on, from the earliest writings about David. We see that relationship. We too also should have a relationship with God. What does that mean? David had a deep desire to do the will of God. David put God first. David was truly repentant. David gained strength and encouragement from prayer. David put his trust in God, and David praised God continually. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we'll read verse 21. Acts chapter 13 and verse 21. The setting in, about this verse is we see Paul had traveled to the synagogue and they asked him to stand up and instruct. And so he's talking about King David. So verse 21, afterward they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus Christ, through King David. Verse 24, and after John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, talking about John the Baptist. And as John was finishing his course, he said, who do you think I am? I'm not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. So we should strive to be people after God's own heart. This should be part of our character. We should be striving every day. When we do, we look at the example of David. We should look at the attitudes and thoughts of David that we might strive to have. The same attitudes, the same thoughts, that we might be a people after God's own heart. So throughout his life, we see David was continually tested, and he failed many times. But he had a good heart. David loved God's law. He knew it was how to live a happy life. David stated Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light, my salvation, whom should I fear?" Psalm 121, "I lift my eyes to the mountain. From where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." God wants us to have an ongoing relationship with each one of us. So should we ever doubt God's love for us? No, David was far from perfect. He stumbled, sometimes dramatically stumbled. And God recorded David's mistakes so that we can learn from his example. God wants all of us to be people after his own heart. And what a tremendous blessing that can be. David is a role model for all of us. So when we look at God's word and what God has preserved for us, we realize that David indeed was a man after God's own heart. And we can be also.